This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Swooping down on you like a Minnesota Wild player and a Montreal Canadian. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt, Brett here today. We do not know if we have a Democrat of the day. We won't say any word, Brett. We'll let you know if that does come to fruition. I have left numerous messages with numerous people. I have yet to hear anything back. So we'll have to see. How are you, my friend?
Cold.
Yeah, it is a bit nippy out there, isn't it? We've gone from crispy to extra crispy out there. But, you know, it's Minnesota. It's winter. And as a matter of fact, one of the things, because I still follow Sven's Patreon, which you should. It's pretty good. He's talking about on the historic winters, we are nowhere near what we used to be. We're nowhere near what we used to be. We used to get below 20. I think it was like five nights every year. Something like minus 20 or lower in the Twin Cities. Five times a year. We this is going to be probably the coldest day of the year, and it's going to be minus 17. So,
yeah, I mean, this is pretty normal for January. We've had five or six of these nights, maybe a few more, and that's normal.
It's supposed to be like 30 degrees tomorrow. It's supposed to be 30 degrees tomorrow too, which is, yeah. I'm not exactly. It definitely is odd weather, just because it just seems like it doesn't, it's not like the usual years. It was like 17, 17, 17, 17. It's either 30 degrees or 10 below.
Yeah.
So it does seem a little bit odd there. Have you seen the Nolan West video? I mean, this is a Republican up in Blaine. You know who that guy is?
Oh, I remember Nolan. Yeah. Drew Blake. Oh gosh, yeah, he's a real piece of work up there.
Well, it's interesting watching guys like this kind of get, well, and literally pushed around. I don't know if you saw what had happened to him, but city authorities are looking into a report that he was physically thrown out of a public event. Now, if you haven't seen the footage, what you get is Broadcorp put it up there. So he's a Republican from Blaine, took to Facebook last week saying he'd been assaulted while trying to attend an event at the Blaine VFW. The Thursday meeting by an activist group called Action for Liberty MN was billed as a patriot meetup and caucus training that was for the general public. As Wes entered, he said a man approached, told him to leave. Now, once again, this was open to the general public. That's what it says. And he's a sitting representative. I mean, I don't agree with him on any damn thing, but he is still a member of the House. A man said he approached him, told him to leave. As the lawmaker tells it, the man attacked me, grabbed my arm with both hands, yanked me out the door, and slammed the door. Video that appears to offer a glimpse of the incident was shared to Twitter by Michael Broadcorp on Monday. So, and basically what you see is, you know, it's like this guy says, can I come talk to you? Grabs West and chucks him out. And then the guy, you got to see the guy, the Action for Liberty guy, comes like walking in like he just did something good. I just threw a representative out of here. Yeah, okay. As I labeled it when Broadcorp put that out there, I said, I think the technical term for this is called evidence. And you are not going to be able to get away from that, because you have video evidence of you grabbing someone and throwing them out. And you do not have anything that tells you. I mean, you clearly, this guy, Nolan West, wasn't being disruptive. I mean, clearly he wasn't. And
I'm confused. This was a right-wing group throwing out Nolan West, who is also right-wing.
But okay, I'll get to that in a second here, because you're right. This is, and Nolan West is not exactly a liberal in any moderate in any capacity. No one would ever accuse him of that by any means. But he definitely is. You know, he's a mainstream Republican, which today is a Trump Republican, which means he's, you know, far right. I mean, he's had his own issues too, every once in a while. So there is that. But, you know, definitely he didn't deserve what happened to him. Police department sent a copy of the redacted incident report to bring me the news showing that it made just after 5 p.m. Friday. This is what I said to Nolan West. I said, okay, you don't know me this. It says, if you allow these guys to do this to you, do you think they're going to be like, wow, he's my buddy now? Or do you think they're going to call you their biatch? You know, yeah, of course they're going to go. They're probably going to brag about, we threw out Nolan West. These are not your friends. If they're going to do this, they're going to laugh and laugh and laugh. So file charges, which he apparently did on Friday. The police have referred the case to the city attorney for review. I was stunned and appalled at the despicable behavior from the individual I had never met, said West in a Monday statement, later continuing, my hope is these charges will deter future politically motivated violence that has become too common in today's political climate. The call's coming from inside the house. I got news for you.
No kidding.
If you are interested in stopping political violence, I've got a few people you need to talk to. Action for Liberty in a statement. Now, these are the guy with representative skin tag, Eric Mortensen. Remember the guy from Shakopee? He got kicked out of the Republican Party. He got kicked out of the far right guys. That guy.
Oh, this makes a little more sense right now if they're with him. Yeah.
Action for Liberty, in a statement to bring me the news last week, said West became disruptive. And after being asked to leave, the lawmaker denied the characterization Monday, saying video shows he running smoothly prior to the attack. So, yeah, nothing was going on. The guy, I mean, it clearly looks like, as West dictated, that he was asked to walk out the door or walk to the door. He said, why, you know, what's going on? And then the guy basically physically grabs him. And like I said, you got to see the video footage of the guy that assaulted West kind of walking back, you know, the cock of the walk. Here we go. Yeah. This is not the only time this has happened. Another Republican has had this happen. This is from known liberal Representative Mary Franson. Yeah. They went. So there's a video that Franson has posted up, and I'm using this off Bluestem Prairie. So Action for Liberty held a caucus in Delano. Action for Liberty's henchman, Tony Lalonde. Boy, that does sound like a henchman, you know.
I love the term henchman.
Henchman. This is her term. Liberty's henchman, Tony Lalonde, kicked my good friend, Representative Joe McDonald, out of the Delano American Legion. Okay, I got to ask the question for the American Legion, the VFW. Why are you having these people there? Clearly, they're anti-American. By their actions, by the fact that they're having open, you know, meetings, saying open to the general public, and then throwing people out that they don't want there. That's not American. You know, if it's a private meeting, that's fine, but that's kind of not what these meetings have been like. So anyway, getting back to this is Franson's post. Why? Because he was an elected official that supposedly they didn't support elected officials unless it's Eric Mortensen. This is Franson going after him. I'm confident Action for Liberty handles all of Mortensen's fundraising letters and emails. Many of Joe's friends were also kicked out of the event simply because of being Joe's friends. Those friends that Joe had with him in the Delano American Legion were three veterans, including two in their 80s. So you threw two veterans in their 80s out of the American Legion, and the Legion's okay with this? Okay. The president of the Delano Gun Club, Chamber of Commerce members, and Delano Lions Club members, those individuals were referred to as minions in a video Eric Mortensen did of the event. The little yellow guys? The minions? Oh, okay. I didn't. Do they like bananas?
I hope they kind of behave like them, too.
That's actually a shockingly good minion voice.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
There you go. If you haven't caught up with the grift yet, that you should. Action for Liberty and Eric Mortensen are toxic. Cue Britney Spears. At the Pioneer Press, David Oreck reports the Republican lawmaker files police complaint against the person that attacked him. That was Nolan West. And the screenshot from the top of the post, this is from the Mary Franson picture, from Representative Franson's Team Franson Facebook page. West had wasn't the only elected Republican official tossed in the open and general public caucus training and district representatives. Readers who have visited the link to Representative Team Franson's Facebook video, as the settings on the page do not allow to embed the post, nor have a clever volunteer has been able to download to save it for us in an upload another platform. Control-Shift-4, isn't it? Control-4, I think it is, and that's how you can screen grab at least. A kind reader downloaded and sent us a video, which we've uploaded to YouTube. This is up on Bluestem Prairie's site. While there is no evidence the six-term Delano Republican was assaulted, there's some background chatter, the unidentified off-screen voice, that maybe the two of them should have taken it outside to settle the dispute. Franson identifies the Action for Liberty henchman, Tony LaLonde. We do not know if this is the same Tony involved in the alleged assault on West. My guess is it is. The Shakopee Caucus of One. Nicely done, Sally Joe. On his Facebook page, the Shakopee Caucus of One has posted his own video about the McDonald episode. Here it is. Mortensen interviews an organizer named Joe Crawford, who does not appear in the same person in the video. According to Mortensen, McDonald called the Wright County Sheriff when he was asked to leave. According to the website events page, Action for Liberty is conducting meetups and caucus training this fall in its Roseville headquarters, Dodge Center in Little Falls on Tuesday, Prior Lake on Wednesday, and Southeast Metro in St. Hilary on Thursday. They're open to the public. Maybe a bunch of liberals should go there. I don't know. I know a few Democrats that if this guy tried to take him out of the room, that the next thing that would happen is his arm would be broken. Get your hand off me. I'd give you one warning, you know. The reality is this, is if and this what this points out is there is a civil war going on right now within the Republican Party. And for us, it started a little earlier than the rest of the country with the absolute implosion of the Minnesota GOP, with the Jennifer Carnahan story, with all the disgusting things that had been going on and some of the disgusting people that would have been associated with the GOP. But the rest of the country is now catching up. And what you have got is you have – there was a moment back in 1992 when I think it was Ralph Reed – came to George H.W. Bush in the White House and said, bring us into the fold, give us a seat at the table, and we will be the most loyal political foot soldiers you'll ever have. And George H.W. Bush apparently looked at everyone around the room and said, no, do not allow those people in here, because if you do, they're going to try to take control of everything. Back in 2004, after George H.W. Bush lost the blue-collar workers because of his disastrous policies and looked like he was headed for a loss, Dick Cheney and Karl Rove went out and specifically got the lunatic fringe far right and brought them into the fold as loyal foot soldiers. Now, it won them that election by bringing in the crazy loony bins, but as H.W. Bush said back in 1992, that came to fruition. And by 2008, the vice presidential candidate was a wildly unqualified Sarah Palin, who's an absolute, she was a burning dumpster fire. And ever since then, that this party has gone further and further to the right. And now you even have people like Mary Franson and Nolan West who are out there saying, wow, these people are extreme. Well, of course they are. The last guy you had in the White House welcomed these people to Washington, D.C. as loyal foot soldiers to basically try to overthrow the federal freaking government. And their mentality is not, boy, did we do something wrong. Their mentality is, if more Republicans would have backed them, they would have overthrown the government and installed Trump for life. And they feel as if they were robbed of this. And so now when you look at like Action for Liberty and you look at these far right extremist groups, I mean, these were guys back in the 1980s and 90s were on compounds out in freaking Montana and Michigan. That's who these guys are. And now they've been welcomed to the table because Dick Cheney and Karl Rove, and they don't want to go away. And so they're desperately trying to steer the Republican Party towards even a more further extreme right. One that even like people like Mary Franson and Nolan West know if they go down that path, they will get destroyed in the elections. But these people don't care. They're zealots. They're the most extreme of the extreme, and their mentality is if you're not going to be with them, well, then you're against them. And trust me, some of these groups, I'm not saying necessarily Action for Liberty, although they clearly have an issue with throwing people out of buildings, sometimes physically. But some of these people want to start putting bullets into people's heads. And that is kind of the mentality they have. They're ready to overthrow the government. So this was the seeds of this were planted in 2004. We started seeing the sprouting of this in 2008, 2009, when you had belligerent morons screaming, "Where's his birth certificate?" And it didn't matter. People kept showing them. Here's the long form. They've shown them the birth certificate. "Well, that's not the long form birth certificate." Okay, here's the long form birth certificate. "Clearly it's forged." I mean, that is when this all started. Donald Trump just realized that element was there. And if you validated them, well, they would be such a loyal force that they would actually storm the Capitol and smear their feces all over the Capitol building, trying to kill the vice president, trying to kill members of the House and the Senate. And as we discovered with this letter that Trump never did send, where they had drafted the letter for him to basically order the military to seize the nation's election materials, all the voting machines in the country. This was an attempted overthrow. And so now these people, I mean, if I may just say to Joe McDonald and Mary Franson and Nolan West, you guys reap what you sow. You guys, you still to this day can't just come on out and say vaccines work, get vaccinated. You can't to this day come on out and say stop being idiots. Of course, Joe Biden won the election in 2020. Let's move on. You're betrothed to these people. You are needing their votes. And so you cannot spoon with the far-right lunatic fringe and expect these people to go away. Until you guys have the guts to say, enough's enough, vaccines work, Joe Biden won the election. I wish he hadn't, but he did. Let's move on. Yeah, it might cost you a few people their seats, but you'll still survive. 2022 might be gone. Well, I think 2022 is slowly slipping away from the Republicans and fast, if you want to know the truth. But if you just take the losses and purge your party of this extremism and just sort of say, we tried it your way, we're not going to do it, then you might be able to, in the midterms in 2026, maybe 2028, be able to put forward a pretty good front. But the longer you guys want to be outraged by this far-right extremism, while at the same time doing what you can to try to appeal to this far-right extremism, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Good luck with all that. No, seriously, good luck. Let's see how that goes, all right? Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Coming up here. Brett, in the 5 o'clock hour, you have an interview today. Who are we chatting with?
Yeah, we have Rose Roach of the Minnesota Nurses Association and Healthcare for All Minnesota. as they're going to be holding a rally coming up tomorrow at 10:30 with the creation of, I think, a long overdue caucus in the legislature. It has to do with bringing, well, single-payer health care to Minnesota.
Okay.
So they're going to be doing a rally tomorrow. We're going to talk about that and what a single-payer plan would look like here in the state.
Well, it'd look a lot better than it is. I mean, how many people right now in the state of Minnesota in the last 2 years have had crippling debt because of coronavirus hospital bills? So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, look forward to that coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. Speaking of coronavirus, let's get into the Minnesota coronavirus update for today. The new numbers from the Minnesota Department of Health include 35,504 newly reported cases, 37 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll now is 11,230. Today's update includes case data that was reported in a 72-hour period ending at 4 a.m. on Monday, but due to the Omicron surge's overload in the health department, there remains approximately 31,000 positive tests that are yet to be processed and included in the daily reports. Last week, the Mayo Clinic held a press briefing which said it expects the reported cases to remain high before peaking perhaps this week. However, because reported cases lag with what's happening in real time, the Omicron wave may have already peaked in Minnesota. We actually do have our first sign that things might be getting better, because as much as they keep saying, well, it might have already peaked, the 7-day rolling average of test positivity rate was continuing to climb. Today, for the first time in a month plus, it actually has gone down. It was at 23.2%, which is down from 23.7%. The first drop in the statewide positivity rate since falling to 8.2% on December 18th. Anything over 10% puts Minnesota in the high-risk threshold for community transmission of the coronavirus. Heck, we were down below 1 this last summer. We were down below 1. Through January 24th, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota has down dramatically as well. That's another positive sign. Although the numbers have been going down for intensive care, now we're seeing it go down for general hospital care, which is good. 1,507, that's down from 1,566 reported on January 21st. Of those hospitalized, 228 people are in intensive care. That's down from 238. 1,279 are in non-ICU care. That's down from 1,329. So 1,279, basically, yeah, 50 down on non-ICU beds, which I'll get to it. That's a good sign compared to some of the problems that we're having. The latest hospital capacity data shows there are 34 staffed ICU beds available in the entire state, up from 29, and 17 pediatric ICU beds available, which is actually down from 21 on January 21st. As of January 23rd, the state reported that 3,825,849 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. 3,583,371 have completed the vaccine series. The state has administered 1,993,618 third dose booster shots. We might break 2 million on the booster shots tomorrow. That'd be nice. Total number of cases so far reported in the state of Minnesota, 1,264,935. It's going to be very interesting to see how history looks at these numbers. And it looks at necessarily the 1,264,000 cases, but the 11,230 deaths. Because history is going to ask the question, why don't you just shut everything down? And the response is going to be, well, because I wanted an ice cream cone. And when they say we got to shut down, they say I can't have ice cream cone. So ice cream cone is more important than saving people's lives. It is. Oh, God, it is. That's exactly what it is. And it sounds really bad, doesn't it? It sure does. Yeah, it does. When you sit there and say, well, they had a new Spider-Man movie out, and I want to go see it, and I want to see it in the movie theater with butter and popcorn and a big drink. And so that's why I didn't want to shut anything down, is because I wanted to see Spider-Man in the movie theater. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds horrible, doesn't it? Yeah, I wanted to go to Disney World, and it's really nice. And so I went down there, and I had a great time, and I was flying. And, yeah, I know that probably people got sick and people died. But, you know, Disney World. Yeah, I went to Disney World. It was great. I took a lot of great Instagram photos. See? That makes up for all the dead people. Yeah, doesn't it? 11,230. Brett, if you could do me a favor really quick as we're doing this. If you type in population of Minnesota cities, all right, type that in. There should be like a Wikipedia page on that that gives you the number of the cities and basically lists the population. Do you see that there?
Yeah, I found one from the state demographics site.
All right. What city would have 11,230 people? Is there a city that we can name here that would have, if their population was comparable, 11,230?
Yeah, here's a good one. It's close to it. 11,126, Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids, Minnesota. The birthplace of Judy Garland, of course. Every person in that town dead. No, that's what it is. Every person in that town dead. Yep. Seriously, Grand Rapids, wiped off the map. Every person, man, woman, child, baby, elderly person, gone, dead. Now, before this, I would like to have thought that if we said, holy crud, if we don't really rein this in, we are going to lose the entire population of Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Everyone in it will die if we don't take it seriously and fight for it. I would like to have thought that would be enough for us to say, holy God, of course, yeah, masks, vaccines, let's do what we can to save people. Nope. Yeah, those people had to die because I wanted to watch Spider-Man on a movie theater. Spider-Man's awesome. So we couldn't do minimum. Do you know, I like feeling good in the neighborhood, so I got to go get my appetizers, and they got those boneless chicken wings, and they're delicious. So, yeah, they had to die so I could get my boneless chicken wings. Sorry. Every one of them dead. Every one of them dead. We used to think to ourselves, this is where, once again, I'm going to repeat this, and I'll repeat this for many, many months to come. What the problem with our country today is that limiting mild inconvenience is more important than stopping needless suffering and death. Yep, it is. Yes, it is. You Christians out there. Yeah, it is. Limiting mild inconvenience is a much more important thing than stopping needless human suffering and death. Proud moment, America. Proud moment indeed. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. When we do come on back, more Minnesota coronavirus update when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Oh, wow. Brett, you're saying we got a call here from someone who's a specialist in the medical field here, correct?
Yeah, apparently linking vaccinations with miscarriages, because that hasn't been a thing floating around on social media.
So, not so much like Mayo Clinic doctor, more like Bewitched Dr. Bombay. Yeah, okay. You know, I could point you to the direction of the CDC, the WHO, the Mayo Clinic, John Hopkins, the Journal of American Medicine. I could point you in the direction of them for the studies they have done and help fund that have shown, no, that doesn't happen. But you're not going to read them, and you do not care, because you're pulling it out of your butt and thinking that Facebook is true. Come on. The complications from this vaccine are on par with every other vaccine, which are minimal. God, I love Wendy Pilot from Native Roots Radio, come on the show after us. She posted a meme today, which is just brilliant. It's this snarky guy. So the snarky guy is saying, well, both people who are vaccinated and unvaccinated get coronavirus. And the other guy says back, so both Serena Williams and I play tennis. I thought that's a good point. There it is. It's a little bit different for each side there. So come on. You know, I already know you're going to be 90 years old if God willing you make it that long. You're 90 years old. You're going to be sitting there and saying, COVID was all made up. It never existed. And when it did exist, it was from China. And the vaccine didn't work. It killed so many babies. And oh, my God. I get it. That's because you to look in the mirror and face reality is impossible for you. So you'll just go back to Dr. Facebook. And it's like, well, my wild cousin here tells me that if I get vaccinated, do you know what's going to do to my testicles? I can tell you what happened when I got vaccinated because I got, I don't know if, I'm not going to go into the nether regions. I'm fine, by the way. A-OK, everything working great. That being said, when I got COVID, I was asymptomatic and 5 days later I tested negative. And seen. You know what I wasn't? In a ventilator in the ICU. No, I wasn't. Not at all. Not in a hospital. So. But no, tell me how I'm doomed. I'm still mad you guys lied about the magnetizing thing. Because the thought of me being able to store my car keys just on my forehead is right up there. Hey, there they are. You know.
Oh, that really would be convenient.
Let me just put my pen here. It is right here. Thank God. I got a metal pen ready to do some writing.
And they were complaining about that being a side effect.
That was one of the best. I got gypped. Where's my magnetization? What? I want to, you know, have one of those things where, like, I'm, you know, I get near a refrigerator and I start moving sideways towards the fridge. Up to the magnets. Oh, okay. Is that what we're expecting now? If you got vaccinated, you're going to come home and find a kid like stuck to the fridge because he's a kid. He's now basically a glorified fridge magnet. Is that what's going to happen? Well, Billy, since you're up there, let's store this recipe on your back here. We'll just we wanted to keep it there anyway. So, no, tell me more, doctor. I'm supposed to drop my pants and jam the ivermectin where? Oh boy, that sounds sensible. A horse dewormer, you say? Boy, you got this at the vet and feed the feed and seed store. All right, great. Because that's where I get all my medicine, right there next to the soft mane shampoo and the dog leashes. It's all there. Everything you need.
Then when I'm sick, I go to the feed and seed store. The
feed and seed. Jesus. Come on, people. Oh, for God's sakes. Yeah, you sound stupid. Yeah, just a ta-da! For my next magical act. It's serious. I don't want you dead. I don't want you sick. I don't want you bankrupt. I don't. More kids in St. Louis County have been hospitalized in January due to COVID than any other month during the pandemic. The county on Minnesota and on Tuesday shared a graph showing pediatric hospital admissions by month, with 9 people 18 and younger having to be admitted to the hospital with COVID in St. Louis County this month. January isn't even over yet, though. The next highest number of hospitalized admissions per month among kids came in September and May of 2021. This mirrors what's been statewide with the, and by the way, that was 6 total, so they're well past that. This mirrors what we've been seeing statewide with the Minnesota Department of Health's weekly COVID-19 numbers republished January 20th, showing hospitalizations among kids 18 and under have been climbing in recent weeks amid the surge in cases. Omicron is nasty, man. It doesn't seem to have the death count that Delta had, but it's, you know, there is some real fear that this long COVID, the long-term COVID stuff where you're going to have the symptoms for months, maybe even a year, that it's going to hit these kids. The graph shows hospitalizations among kids 4 and younger who aren't eligible for COVID vaccine are at their highest so far during the pandemic, while hospitalizations among 5 to 11-year-olds and 12 to 18-year-olds have also been climbing as of late. Until recently, kids were mostly spared from the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic, but with the Omicron variant's dominance, which has caused cases to skyrocket, more and more kids are getting the virus and ending up in the hospital. Someone might say, it's like, wow, since we can't give vaccinations to 4 and younger, maybe we should be careful. But, hey, Who doesn't love needless suffering of four-year-olds, huh? That's sarcasm. Of course, I'm on the side of basically trying to prevent this from spreading any further. I'm not out there saying, I know your kid got sick, but I needed to go get my supersized meal. Until recently, kids were mostly scared, spared from the worst of the COVID-19 epidemic. More and more kids are getting the virus and ending up in the hospital. The American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association reports COVID cases among kids have spiked dramatically with Omicron. Over 1.1 million COVID cases among kids were reported in the week ending January 20th, which represents 25.5% of the weekly reported cases. That's a 17% increase in the 981,000 pediatric cases reported the week ending January 13th and nearly five times the rate of the peak of the surge last summer. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the seven-day average for the new pediatric hospital admissions with COVID was 832, and the week prior was 914, which reflects the pandemic peak. The AAP looked into 24 states, including Minnesota and New York City, finding kids made up 1.7 to 4.4% of total hospitalizations for the week ending January 20th, while 1.1 to 1.5 of all child COVID cases resulted in hospitalization. But reminder, most COVID, most of the anti, the people that are deniers, the anti-vaxxers and stuff, like, no kids ever gotten sick. No kids ever gotten sick. That's what they scream. Dr. Facebook. The Scientific American looked into why Omicron is putting more kids in the hospital, reporting that the more kids get COVID, it's naturally that more kids end up in the hospital because the risk of hospitalization isn't zero. And while Omicron is still being studied, it seems to have an ability to evade a person's immune responses. The publication went on to add, in the first waves of the pandemic, kids fared better than adults in large part because children have more robust innate immune systems, which mount rapid initial responses to invading microbes. If you're a parent, you know what this means, because my gosh, how many times has your kid, my kid came home with a sniffle from daycare, and the next thing I was laid out on a couch for a week. Holy God. Yeah, there's viruses and stuff like that. The kids just don't get it as bad. But parents and adults, yeah. Adults, in contrast, have a more adaptive immune systems, which respond effectively after an injection has begun to take hold in the body. An infection has begun to take hold in the body. So basically, we start building antibodies after we get infected if you get older. But when you're younger, basically, your system's brand new. It's, you know, new car fresh. And that's where it goes. As more children are ending up in the hospital, St. Louis County's health officials encourage families to get eligible children vaccinated and boosted. Please wear a mask, stay home when sick, and get tested so we can protect the youngest members of our community, the county said. But a lot of people are saying, I don't care. I want to go shopping at the mall. Yep. Alexis Hinckley, a 26-year-old neocritical care nurse from Issaquah, Washington, who has spent most of last year working as a travel nurse in Colorado, California, and most recently rural Oregon. Through Alexis's background is in critical care. She spent the last month working in the emergency department due to the dire need of healthcare workers in the wake of the COVID-19 and the Omicron variant. Recently, Alexis went mega viral on TikTok for sharing her frustrations after a particularly grueling shift in the emergency department. One thing I wish more non-medical people understood when they bring up the survival rate of COVID is that no beds in the hospital means no beds. In the video, which has now 11 million views, Alexis explains that because COVID-19 cases continue to overwhelm U.S. hospitals across the country, there aren't enough beds, spaces, or resources to treat other sicknesses and emergencies. No beds for your stroke, no beds for your heart attack, no beds for your car crash, no beds for your sick child. She continues, you might be very comfortable with the survival rate of COVID, but how comfortable are you with the survival rate of a massive M1 MCA stroke or no TPA because we can't accept you at any of our local hospitals because our emergency department is overwhelmed with patients already? Are you comfortable with those odds? I bet the blank not. And she did not say blank. Last January was some of the darkest blank I've ever seen in my life, she says, shoveling dead bodies out of refrigerated trucks and parking ramps. And on the worst days that we had, we were still only averaging 3,000 deaths a day from COVID, but we're looking at 10,000 deaths a day in early February. No beds means no blanking beds, Alexis concludes. You die alone at home. Your parents die alone at home. Please, please start listening to the healthcare workers when they scream for you to help us. BuzzFeed reached out to Alexis and said that she almost didn't post a TikTok because she felt too obvious to point out the crisis she and her fellow healthcare workers are dealing with. She also didn't want to come off as angry before realizing she absolutely had a right to be. I just finished 13 hours in our emergency department. I had personally had a really bad shift. I had multiple patients die. I'd been working in crisis management, and I've been in the emergency department for the last month. We had over 30 people on, this is one hospital. They had 30 people on gurneys in the hallway, and we're trying to code a person. We're short on beds. We're short on staff. We're short on everything. We're trying to run the hallway of an emergency department to get to a patient who's crashing. We're bumping into gurneys with patients and family members sitting on them. They're... shouldn't be people in the hallway of a hospital ever, not in the richest country in the world. It feels so pointless to even say, but it needs to be said. She told BuzzFeed, no beds at its core means that COVID affects everything. It's not just a singular virus that encapsulates on a bubble, which only affects people who are getting COVID. It is so much bigger than that. And I know a lot of people who've heard it echoed over the past year that our healthcare system is being overwhelmed, but they might not know what that actually looks like. Well said. Alexis and all nurses, doctors, medical persons out there, you're angels. You're absolute angels. You're getting way too much grief, way too much stress. I love you. I do. You're wonderful. You deserve all a big vacation and a massive freaking pay raise. You really do. This is why. I mean, there have been cases where these anti-vaxxers have a family member who has a stroke and they're like, what do you mean I can't go to the hospital? You know, all those people you're telling not to get vaccinated, they're in the hospital. Am I supposed to just roll one of them out into the parking lot so I can make room for you now that you're here? Stupidity. This is a pandemic of stupidity. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. More when we return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. A video posted to Reddit on Monday shows a man wishing death upon workers at a Minnesota's Jimmy John's. I've eaten at Arby's. No, no.
I had the same sentiment.
Okay, I'll say this about Jimmy John's. I don't think it's a bad sandwich. I generally don't go to the ones here because of that whole big labor thing. Remember when they basically stopped them from unionizing and they worked really hard and, you know, did everything in their power to stop a union from coming into the shops and even threatened to, I think there was a threat that he was going to shut down locations and stuff. So yeah, I don't do that because of that.
Yeah, their sandwiches aren't that good anyways.
No, it's not a bad sandwich. This guy basically just picked a target. Rochester Mayor Kim Norton early this month declared a local emergency requiring people to wear a face mask in all indoor areas, regardless of vaccination status, amid the surge in COVID cases caused by the Omicron variant. The mask mandate went into effect on January 16th. It's set to expire on February 7th. And a man who walked into Jimmy John's was not happy the sandwich shop was enforcing the mandate. You can't help me without a mask, even though the order declaration by Queen Jezebel herself clearly said there's room for medical exemptions, the man who is filming the interaction says to the workers behind the counter. Dude, if you have an actual medical exemption, trust me, you're not going to a Jimmy John. I've got a heart condition. You know what I need? Processed meats and mayo.
Right after the feed and seed store.
Yeah, the feed and seed and heading over to get some good old heart healthy food. The man who's filming the interaction says to the workers behind the counter, he apparently is referring to the Mayor Norton as Queen Jezebel. In the Bible, Queen Jezebel's disregarded the rights of the common people. Dude, I'm already going to tell you this. You probably shouldn't be quoting the Bible if you never really read it. Gospel of Matthew, it's a hoot. Yeah, Jesus was pro-healthcare, just FYI. A worker responds, but it's hard to hear, they're masked. But it sounds as if they're saying the man can order their sandwich outside and get a sandwich. You're saying I can't be in here. That's what you're saying. God. You know what? I just said this. That we could stop needless suffering. We could try to stop needless deaths. No, I want a Jimmy John's sandwich and I want to sit inside the restaurant and eat it. Really? That's your biggest priority? I mean, first of all, cry for help. But second of all, yeah, really? You're saying it cannot be in this public space without a face paper. That's what you're saying on it. That's what you're saying. Oh, get ready. It's a conservative classic. Another employee speaks to the man about following the rules. I am following the rules, man said. I think you can't serve me without a diaper on my face. That's what you're saying. Yep. Face diaper. Well, considering what's coming out of your mouth, yeah, you probably do need a diaper on your face. The rest of us can wear face masks, but dude, yeah, you probably, yeah. The employee corrects him, saying it's not a diaper, but a face mask. Sir, this is Jimmy John's. You know, we're wearing face masks. I think you're in the wrong place. I don't know where you want to be, but we serve sandwiches here, usually to a lot of people who leave with them with looks of despair on their face, but still, you know, we do. They're not a sponsor, are they?
No.
Okay, I got enough.
They really have a tendency to mess up what goes on your mouth and what goes on your backside, they seem. Diaper on your head, and then you.
Well, I mean, it does tell you a lot about these people when they say, "I got a new medication idea. Drop your pants." What? I've got a mouth. can I do it through the mouth? Nope. We got to do it through the backside. I'll tell you what. I will take a break from this story. Like usually, I'm not going to say that, Chetlo. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to take a break. We'll come on back. Top of the hour. Continue this. Plus more. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Hour 2 on your Tuesday. Good to be with you today. Matt, Brett here today. Oh, Brett, shall we get back to our last stand of democracy, the Rochester Jimmy John's sandwich shop?
Oh, I think so.
We should play some of those, like that, you know, wistful music in the background, like in a battle movie, you know. So, in case you missed it, some guy walks into the Jimmy John's down in Rochester, filming himself, and he posted this, I guess, thinking it would impress people. And basically has a fight with a bunch of teenagers working at the Jimmy John's in Rochester. And he pulls out all the conservative things like, what do you mean I can't say I have my sandwich? That sort of thing. Because they have a mask mandate in Rochester right now. He comes up with the old face diaper. A diaper on my face. The employee corrects him, saying it's not a diaper but a face mask. The man responds, a face covering, an effective face covering. What's effective? I can tell you what's not effective. Going into a Jimmy John's with a camera and verbally assaulting teenagers. The man goes on to criticize the employee's mask, and the employee responds, you're not going to convince us, and we're not going to convince you. How are the part-time employees at a Jimmy John's smarter than this guy when it comes, you know, because whenever I think of my medical needs, not only do I go to the feed and seed store, but I also stop on by Jimmy John's because not only can I get a delicious pickle, but they can take a look at that and see what do they think about it.
And it helps too to argue with the part-time teenage workers.
Yeah, they sure respect you now. What are you guys afraid of? Why do you wear it? The man asks. Okay. Coronavirus, because it's a virus. Are you afraid of something? Coronavirus. Where is this guy? Did he just like come out of a time vault or something like that? Did he just come out of like a cryogenic freeze? And pff, why are all you people wearing masks? A third employee walks up, tells the man, we're not serving you. Please leave. the first employer marks they've gone over this 5 times with a man response. 5 times? Why don't we get it over 100 times? Oh, God. When are you going to start using that brain inside your head? Now, I respect everyone that works in the fast food industry, especially teenagers. When are you going to start using that brain inside your head? He's actually saying this to people working the counter at a Jimmy John's, okay? Not like at a scientific conference or, you know, in a university setting. No. Pick your battles, man. Pick your battles. And there's nothing else. I mean, it's teenagers, but you're discussing screaming medical advice to them, bad medical advice, and then saying, why aren't you using your brain? Welcome to 2022. All right.
There's nothing retail workers love more than customers arguing over policies they have no control over.
An employee says they have the right to refuse service to him, and the man says they could trespass him. That's everybody's end around on this. So, you've done this before. Is the reason why you're at Jimmy John's because you did this in a Subway?
Watch out, Jersey Mike's is next.
Jersey. Well, he's gonna be like a Sbarro. That's like because I'm stuck. They're not gonna say anything because I still want to get some pizza, I guess. That's everybody's end around on this. It sounds like he's been thrown out of multiple establishments. The man goes on to say he doesn't need a mask on and states, well, clearly Jimmy John's in Rochester, Minnesota doesn't need any more damn business. I'll make sure of that, the man says. Yeah, I'm sure that no one showed up over there today. He then mocks an employee's comment that the world-renowned Mayo Clinic is the best hospital in the world. The employee says to leave. Just leave? That's what it comes to? Well, I hope you're proud of yourselves. I hope you die 1,000 deaths a day because that's what's going on. Have a good day. Okay, wait a second. You quoted the Bible with Jezebel earlier, but then your version of the Bible says you're wishing a bunch of teenagers working at a Jimmy John's. I hope you die 1,000 deaths a day because that's what's going on. Because he's upset. People have to wear a face mask in a public setting during a pandemic. The man then walks out, turns his camera on himself and say, I'll tell you what, I like to swear right now, but I like to keep it decent. Wow. This is what has come to in Rochester, Minnesota, the town with this guy said the best hospital in the world. So Jimmy John's no more gets my business. They just wanted to show you what they're all dealing with here. Again, in Queen Jezebel land of tyranny. Dude, stop quoting the Bible. Dude, you lost the Bible a long time ago, man. It's unclear where the video was first posted. The moon man is. He did not identify himself. It's also unclear which Rochester location of the Jimmy John's that it occurred. Incident occurred. I'm going to guess it's the one where they're hiring. The rant on Jimmy John's workers comes as restaurants in cities with mandates have asked for grace, customers to be kind to workers, enforcing them. Not there. Oof. I got one more for you here before we get into your interview. Liz Collins, you know her? The anchor from WCCO?
Oh, yeah.
And certain misses to a Bob Kroll. She has left the station, left WCCO after nearly 14 years. I want to thank all for the support that you've shown me in the home state of Minnesota, the Worthington Eagle, wrote Tuesday on a social media post. Collins is married to former Minneapolis police officer, Federation president, Bob the Jackass Kroll. Actually, I don't know if the Jackass is an official nickname. That's what I'll just add. He retired January 2021. His comments in the wake of George Floyd's murder angered many in the community who called for his resignation. Some also wanted Collins to step down because of her conflict of interest. In August 2020, more than 100 Black Lives Matter protesters gathered outside the couple's home where they smashed a piñata, effigies of them, insisting they both be fired. Before the controversy, Collins had built an Emmy-winning career. She had previously worked in Wichita, Kansas, and Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The truth makes me tick, Collins wrote in a post Tuesday. I'll get back to telling it soon. She closed by citing John 8:32, which reads, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Liz, do you really want to know the truth about your husband? I mean, you're the one that's bringing the Bible in here, because let me tell you something. Yeah, wow. Remember when he wrote that letter that he was kind of scheming with Gazelka to take over state government and install a militarized police force in the city of Minneapolis or something to that effect? He was going to take control of the National Guard and, I guess, crack some skulls or something like that. Remember that? Remember he was saying that Derek Chauvin, who, by the way, convicted by a jury of murder, was an outstanding police officer that deserved his job back? Truth will set you free indeed. WCCO4 television did not comment on their personal matter. Yeah, I remember that before that became public knowledge that she was married to Bob Kroll. I mean, she was doing really, she had done a few, fluff pieces for the police. And yeah, that's a little bit of a conflict of interest there. Just a smidge. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So, Brett, it is a Tuesday. That means usually you get to get one of your interviews on in here. Who are we chatting with once again today?
Yeah, we have Rose Roach with the she's the executive director of the Minnesota Nurses Association, also with the group Healthcare for All Minnesota. We'll be talking about bringing single-payer health care to Minnesota and the fact that the legislature is starting an entire caucus dedicated to just that issue, and they're having a rally tomorrow at the Capitol steps that we'll get into.
All right. Any big names that we know that are in that caucus already?
Not that I remember off the top of my head, but if you listen to the interview, I know.
Wow.
I know Rose will bring them up.
No spoilers. No spoilers. Brett Johnson right here on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett Johnson here on a Tuesday afternoon as we're joined now by Rose Roach, the executive director of the Minnesota Nurses Association. She's also with the group Healthcare for All Minnesota, as we're going to be talking about something new that was just created at the state legislature. It's called the Minnesota Health Plan Legislative Caucus. It's a group of state legislatures that are going to be working to bring a single-payer health care plan to Minnesota. Now, with the launching of this new caucus, they are having a rally tomorrow at the state capitol at 10:30. That's tomorrow, 10:30, at the state capitol steps. And I encourage you to go check it out and support the work they're doing to try to bring single-payer health care to Minnesota. Rose now joins us on the show as she talks a little bit about what the Minnesota Health Plan Legislative Caucus is, and specifically what would be in the Minnesota Health Plan that would bring single-payer health care to Minnesota.
In order to actually achieve true health care for all, we have to do it through a sensible, patient-centered, provider-centered, guaranteed health care type system. And so when he introduced that, and it's been there for a while, we are at the point now where it's pretty clear that this is the way we have to go. We have to stop with all of this silly nonsense of trying to tweak a market-based system that is never going to actually guarantee health care for all. And so Senator Marty, along with the author in the House, which is Representative Cedric Frazier, were talking with other fellow legislators who signed on to the bill and support the legislation, and said, maybe it's time that we have a caucus that's dedicated to this issue. We have lots of different caucuses in legislative bodies. For instance, on the national level, there's a Medicare for All caucus that is, Ilhan Omar, actually, our congresswoman from Minneapolis, is, I believe, a co-chair of that particular caucus. And so it was a forming this sort of inside the Capitol political power base who believes in it, but not only has signed on to the bill, but they want to actually help educate their constituents about how would this system work, how would it guarantee health care, how would it lower costs for government, for businesses, for individuals and families, why it should be the way in which we go, and to really to run on that, to educate on it, to be really, really bold about not being afraid to say, this is the way we've got to go, this is our path to health care for all. And so Senator Jen McEwen, along with Senator Omar Fateh in the Senate, as well as in the House. Representative Liz Bolden and Representative Liz Ryer have came together and kicked off this caucus. And so now they are officially going to launch it and dedicate themselves to really making sure that this issue is front and center for all Minnesotans, and that they understand what we're talking about and why they need to not fear the Minnesota Health Plan. We need to fear the status quo because it clearly ain't working.
Well, I like the idea of forming your own caucus, too. Again, the Minnesota Health Plan Legislative Caucus, because as you pointed out, we've seen this at both the national and even the local level here at the Minnesota State Legislature, where if you form these types of caucuses that do focus on a single issue, it oftentimes does lead to, well, a better chance of something getting passed in the future, or at least puts that legislative body, it can put their focus on that issue. So I think that's important to make sure we do have a single legislative caucus that is dedicated to making sure we do have a universal health care plan in Minnesota and a single-payer health care plan.
I couldn't agree more. And it's sort of part of a strategy that is, we have, obviously the way we're going to get a health care system that works for all of us, bar none, no exceptions, is through legislation, right? So you've got to have the inside political power along with the outside grassroots movement. And this is combining actually both of those two pieces together. And for legislators to be able to converse with one another, to help anybody who's thinking up there, I don't really understand this, or I'm not sure how this is going to work, and I don't know how to answer questions my constituents have about this. This is a vehicle for them to even work with one another on the Hill, to get to the place where we more and more seated legislators understand this is where we've got to land. And then as they partner with the community and with the movement outside the Capitol, that's how we're actually going to win and get the Minnesota Health Plan both passed and implemented.
So what would this single-payer health care plan look like in Minnesota? Would it be an expansion of Minnesota Care or something different? Talk about that aspect a little bit.
Yeah, it is a standalone, just like Medicare for All is. There is, obviously, we would need to work on what a transition from our current system looks like into the full-blown Minnesota health plan. That could include some steps such as, how about we deprivatize all of our government healthcare programs? We have private industry in there, HMOs and PPOs and all of that kind of thing. Let's just go to direct contracting. That's where we save massive amounts of money just on administrative and bureaucracy and processing fees that we should be spending on patient care instead. So there certainly are different ways to create stepping stones. There may be a way to use some of the Minnesota Care as a vehicle. We just got to figure out exactly what that would look like, because you've got to still subsidize the way that we subsidize Medicare, and we would continue under Medicare for All, and we would subsidize under the Minnesota Health Plan. And by subsidies, I want to be really clear, what we're talking about is just taking the money that's already in this system and streamlining it. Right? We need to reallocate it towards actual health care. That's what a system, whether it's Medicare for All on a national level or the Minnesota Health Plan here in Minnesota, would begin to do. So the plan, and it's a little bit tough, because the reality is that with the federal government handling programs such as Medicare, such as the Children's Health Insurance Program, so CHIP or state health insurance program called SCHIP, or even the Veterans Administration, Indian Health Services, those are run by the federal, government, right? So we probably wouldn't get a absolute 100% pure single payer, in the sense of if you're Medicare age, you would likely still be getting Medicare. The issue is, though, that we know everybody who has current Medicare has to buy a supplement plan. Right? Or they have to have additional gap insurance, it's called a lot of times, to cover the 20% that Medicare doesn't cover right now. And so the new Minnesota Health Plan would be that wraparound plan, would be far, far cheaper, and would include many, many more benefits than what the current gap insurance or Medicare currently actually provides. And it's important, I just want to note, when we talk about Medicare for All, too, we talk about it as improved and expanded Medicare for All, because we know it's not where it needs to be right now. It needs to cover more types of procedures, such as dental work and vision and hearing. We also know that there needs to be a much smaller out-of-pocket, if any. Under Medicare for All, there's no out-of-pocket. It's literally just that what we pay towards premiums, taxes, in order to cover all of our health care. So until we can get that on the federal level, the state plan would then cover so that Medicare recipients would have no out-of-pocket that they would have to worry about, like on deductibles and copays and things like that. They would simply pay their Medicare premium costs and then a Minnesota health plan premium cost, and that would be the bulk of what they would pay out-of-pocket for their care. So that's basically how it would work. For anybody who currently isn't on one of the government programs that I mentioned, this would be their health care. This would be their health plan now. They would get a card, you know, just like we get a Blue Cross Blue Shield or Medica or whatever type of card. It would just be a Minnesota health plan card. And you would pick whichever doctor, whichever hospital, whichever clinic you wanted to utilize. You would go to it, present that card. They would then bill the Minnesota health plan, and the Minnesota health plan would pay the provider for providing you with health care. No more narrow networks and being told you can or can't go here or there for your services. And the decisions about your medical care are being made by medical professionals in consultation with you and your family. No longer do we have one, two, or three individuals in between who do not heal you or provide any health care, sucking up that money and actually creating barriers and obstacles to you receiving the care your health professional has decided you need.
We're speaking with Rose Roach. She is the executive director of the Minnesota Nurses Association, as we're talking about a rally at the Capitol tomorrow in support of the Minnesota Health Plan. And it's going to be taking place with the announcement of the Minnesota Health Plan Legislative Caucus. Again, this rally is going to be on Wednesday at 10:30. That's tomorrow at 10:30. Rose, I know you'll be a part of this rally at the Capitol. If people attend, what can they expect at this rally that's going to be taking place?
So the rally will take place immediately following a press conference that the legislators are going to do to alert the media of this caucus and explain why they've created it and what they hope to accomplish with it. And then they will join activists from all across at least the metro. We hope even from greater Minnesota, just kind of depends on the weather situation, on the steps of the Capitol to celebrate the initiation of the caucus in the Minnesota legislature, and to hear actually from nurses, from med students, from business owners, from farmers, from patients, from immigrant rights advocates, from those who work in the communities that are most negatively impacted by our current healthcare system, to hear from patients about why the Minnesota Health Plan is such an important piece of legislation to get passed, and how excited we all are to be working together with these legislators to make that happen.
What was encouraging that you mentioned a few moments ago is that we do have at least a few members of the Minnesota legislature that are going to be a part of this caucus. And of course, a big thing is making sure that, well, we do get members of the caucus that are from the state legislature so we can eventually get health care for all Minnesotans passed. What exactly has been the political response? I'm thinking more specifically on the DFL side, since generally the Republicans aren't going to be in favor of something like this. But what's been the political response? I know you mentioned we had a few members of the legislature that's joined. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So Senator McEwen has told us that the reception has actually been phenomenal. The outreach has, of course, started first to those who have actually signed on as co-authors, co-sponsors of the bill in both the Senate and the House. She had mentioned that the reception has been like, oh my gosh, yes, 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 we really need this. This is a wonderful thing. You know, let's get this going and up and running. So far, so good. And now that they will kick it off in a more official capacity, then they will begin to gather, you know, the names of those who want to say, I'm a member publicly, and we will be able to check that list. And if our particular legislator isn't on that list as constituents and activists around, healthcare justice, then we just need to make some phone calls and schedule some lobby visits and have a conversation with those legislators and tell them how important this legislation is to get passed.
And, of course, people can become involved in this caucus as well, including the rally that takes place tomorrow at 10:30 at the Capitol. What can someone who's just generally listening out here, listening to the radio, listening to our interview, what can they do to get involved with the caucus and with the fight to make sure that we do support a plan that would provide health care, affordable health care for all Minnesotans?
I would recommend Health Care for All Minnesota. You can Google that and go to their website. Sign up to get information. I happen to sit on their board of directors, honored to do so. Get the information we send out. We're constantly providing educational opportunities, all being done virtually, and we will probably continue to do that even when we're post-pandemic, just because obviously more people can start to participate in this. So we do education forums. We certainly participate in various types of these kinds of events, rallies or even town halls or whatever, to spread the word and join us in being willing to, bring together some friends or families with a small little house party or something where we can find out from one another, how is this current healthcare system working for you or not working for you? What are the types of solutions we're looking at and why? And why is this the one that really is ultimately going to fix it for us? It's proven over and over again that a single-payer healthcare system does four things. It improves quality, it saves money, it covers everyone, and most importantly, it saves lives. What are we afraid of? Time to get bold and honest about what we need and what we want and fight for it together.
Absolutely. And that website, by the way, if you'd like to get involved with healthcare for all Minnesotans, is hca-mn.org, hca-mn.org. And encourage you to attend that rally at the Capitol, which takes place tomorrow, Wednesday, at 10:30 at the state capitol steps in support of the Minnesota Health Plan Legislative Caucus, something long overdue to try to make sure we get affordable health care to all Minnesotans. Definitely check out that rally if you're able to tomorrow, 10:30 at the state capitol. We have been speaking with Rose Roach, Executive Director of the Minnesota Nurses Association, about that rally tomorrow. Rose, really want to thank you for taking time today. I know you're busy, and I just want to say you and your other nurses have just been doing phenomenal work for the past couple of years. I know it has not been easy out there, so just want to thank you for joining me on the show, and of course, thank you for all the work you've been doing amid the COVID-19 pandemic.
My sincere pleasure, and on behalf of those nurses, we wish you all health and solidarity as we fight against the system. Thank you for having me.
And one more time, that rally at the Capitol in support of the Minnesota Health Plan is tomorrow at 10:30 at the state capitol steps. Let's take a break and send things back over to Matt McNeil on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. A little bit of breaking sports news. David Ortiz is the only player elected to the Hall of Fame this year of the current roster. Now, it should be mentioned that Tony Oliva, Jim Cott, both were elected through the Veterans Committee. I don't know what the name of that group is?
I think you have the name right.
The Veterans Group?
Not sure what the criteria is for it.
Well, it's people that got passed over, and then they kind of get revisited again and their numbers. And, I mean, Oliva should have been in there in the first place.
No kidding.
Cott as well. I'd make an argument Jim Cott should have gotten in there in the first place. But they're both going to go in. David Ortiz, of course, let's face it, Twins will never be able to live down trying to turn David Ortiz into a singles and doubles hitter.
Man, you're opening up that wound, huh?
That one, no, that's bad. Oh,
no,
gosh.
It is, yes.
You know, you can't deny if part of my theory is they knew they had Joe Mauer coming down the line and they just did not want, you know, they didn't want, they were, and I've talked about this numerous times, they didn't basically sell Joe Mauer to Twins fans. They sell Twins fans to Joe Mauer, and basically the team became about Joe Mauer. And if you look back at the years as Joe came on the team, they got rid of so many insanely talented players because they didn't want anyone taking any luster off of Joe Mauer. Now, Ortiz left before Mauer made the majors, but the, you know, he was coming through the line and they were, you know, he's probably the best. He's definitely the best power hitter of the 21st century. I mean, David Ortiz is definitely the best power hitter of the 21st century, and they let him get away.
One of the most clutch performers of all time in the playoffs. Gee, that would have been helpful to the Twins in the playoffs.
He half swung and that ball went out of the park.
Yeah.
He half swung. And you guys sat there and said, you know what we need to do with him? He needs to hit doubles. The Red Sox got him, and the first thing they said is, you swing away every pitch. You have the permanent green light to hit out every pitch. Every single pitch. So, yeah. No, I'm not surprised there. The more interesting fact is that this is the end for Barry Bonds. This is his last ballot, so the Veterans Committee is going to have to revisit him and the whole steroid thing. Roger Clemens. Well, remember, now this is the days, you know, before we knew he was on steroids, that Clemens was, you know, he was lights out. He was Johnny Cy Young. You know, in every team he pitched with, he was really good. Now we know it was because he was taking the steroids, but still. Sammy Sosa's done. Oh no, not Curt Schilling. Oh, not Curt right-wing nutbag Schilling. He also doesn't make it. Too bad, Curt. I'm expecting every year he hasn't made the Hall of Fame. He has gone on a tirade about how all the voters are a bunch of jerks and this. Can't wait to see what he has to say about this. So only one player going in the Hall of Fame, David Ortiz. And frankly, I think he deserves it. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I'll be honest. As a baseball fan, as just a baseball fan, looking at their ability on the field, Schilling shouldn't be in there. He should be in there.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Schilling should be in there. He's not like Clemens. He's not like Sosa. He's not like Bonds. Those guys are all juicing. I don't think Curt Schilling ever got juiced. And he had some series of clutch performances, not only with Boston, but of course the Arizona Diamondbacks when he was there with Johnson, you know, on that team. He was a good pitcher.
All his years in the Red Sox, too. I mean, he's a jerk, but he's a good pitcher, though.
He was a good pitcher. If you're, he should make the Hall of Fame for his on-field thing. But, you know, here's what's the old adage about you get more bees with sugar than honey and then vinegar, you know? You go on out there and you start screaming at people. You're an idiot. Now vote for me for the Hall of Fame. Sure, I'm going to do that. You can't do that. You're not going to get there. Alex Rodriguez, our Timberwolves owner, who's a huge fan of the Green Bay Packers, loves that Green Bay Packers. He did not make it either. I thought his career was a little bit better, but apparently most of the writers like, no, it's just not there.
He retired fairly recently ago. I know a lot of the writers are hesitant to put players in right away unless they were otherworldly good. So I'm betting he'll be in later.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So let's talk about Minneapolis-St. Paul. So in case you don't know, Republicans hate Minneapolis. I mean, they hate it. They constantly badmouth it. They constantly, it's a horrible place. Nobody wants to be in Minneapolis-St. Paul. No one wants to live. It's a ghost town. It's a ghost town. No, it's not safe. I was like this. So clearly you would expect the housing market to match the Republican rhetoric on Minneapolis-St. Paul. Home sales in the Twin Cities last year reached a 20-year high. Despite a 20-year low in listings. Put together, the two extremes lead to a double-digit increase in home prices. Throughout 2021, buyers closed on 6,319 properties, a 2.7% increase over 2020, according to the year-end sales report from the Minneapolis Area Realtors and the St. Paul Association of Realtors. That marked the fourth year of annual sales gain from the housing market in the Twin Cities, defying the pressure on the region's broader economy from the pandemic. Let me shuffle through my briefs here. At the same time, sellers Yeah, the sellers listed 75,536 properties, slightly fewer than 2020. Comparing the supply and demand figures, buyers were left with only 26% fewer options than they were the year before. Some aspiring buyers grew frustrated, the market favoring sellers. Prior to the pandemic, sales gains were driven by record low mortgage rates. The pandemic itself helped drive home sales as renters and existing homeowners sought to more space. The remote work trend also enabled many home buyers to live in communities that were once too far from their jobs. For sellers, pent-up demand helped fuel record price gains during the median price sales here. So, you know, things are Minneapolis, St. Paul, things went really well. The cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul themselves remain popular place for real estate investment in 2021. That can't possibly be, because as every Republican says, it's a ghost town. Nobody wants to be there. Apparently, you're idiots. Both cities were battered by the pandemic and damaged to the 2020 riots, and now they're seeing a rise in crime, but developers continue to bet on the long-term health. Minneapolis permitted $1.63 billion worth of construction in 2021, which is down about 6% compared to 2019, but on par with the five-year average between 2016 and 2020. In St. Paul, the value of permitted construction projects hit $753 million in 2021. St. Paul typically measured building permits a little differently, but the total value of commercial, institution, and mixed-use projects rose 22% in 2021 compared to 2020. Apartment construction continues to lead the way. In Minneapolis, seven of the 10 largest projects were multifamily and three new downtown towers that are under construction this year. Several developers have delayed or paused projects in St. Paul due to new and strict rent control ordinance, including Ryan Companies, which has halted some of its Highland Bridge construction. The Minneapolis City Council will debate the potential rent control policy there. But still, people still like to be here. Trust me, you guys, I'm leaving. Well, yeah, but you're going to get a record price for your house, and that will be filled in about a month. God, I got my neighbor's house went for sale. I think it was 4 days. 4 days! It was sold. Just insane. And that's in winter. No one buys houses in winter. Well, apparently they do here. Because everyone wants to be in Minneapolis, St. Paul. They sure do. They do. They do. 952-946-6205. Julie is in Minneapolis. She wanted to chime in this afternoon. Welcome in, Julie.
Hi, you know, man, I was kind of devastated because I saw the property tax documents for my plain, ordinary little one-bedroom condominium that's in the third precinct on the eastern edge. My property taxes are going up 41.3%.
Yeah!
In 2023, yeah. The value of my little dump here has gone up about 30-some percent. You know, if Minneapolis is such a terrible town with such terrible people that live here, and everything is bad about Minneapolis and blue Hennepin County, how come our property taxes are going up? How come the values of our property are going through the roof? And how come all these developers are building all these condominiums and rental places that are going up all over and charging an arm and a leg? Minneapolis is such a terrible place. Can you answer me that?
Well, Julie, if I may, and thank you very much for the phone call here. I think my theory would be, see if you follow this, a bunch of ignorant outstate people who are trying to push a narrative that really kind of merges onto the level of racism in their district to try to win over voters who really don't know what the hell is going on in the Minneapolis-St. Paul markets are completely and totally wrong. That would be my guess. I mean, if I had to, because nothing they say seems to match up with history or reality. So that would be my guess. Yeah, that would be that they're a bunch of idiots that just don't know what they're talking about. That they want their version of the world to be real, and the reality is it's just not. And, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul still kicks ass. I love my city. I love this town. I don't care if it's cold. I love this town. I do. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's got a lot of things going for it. And, yeah, there's some crime issues. Yeah. It's a big city. It's got crime issues in a lot of big cities. You know, you go sell. No, seriously, go. There seems to be, for every one of you that leaves thinking, you'll be sorry when I'm gone, A, no. B, there's 20 people that are ready to buy your house, and we'll be happy to have them. So go. Bye-bye. Off to your little hate camp. Off to where you're going. I don't care. Off to whatever, you know, quadriary suburb you want to live in, and, you know, still think to yourselves as you go to a Buffalo Wild Wings that I'm living in the deep, dark city. Good luck with all that. 952-946-6205. Oh, the sauces. They're delicious, aren't they? Minnesota regulators must reconsider part of PolyMet's water discharge permit following a decision by the Minnesota Court of Appeals. The 39-page mixed opinion released Monday pertains to the water quality permit for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency granted PolyMet. The permit would allow, speaking of Arby's, the... Delicious. The permit would allow the company to discharge water from the mines facilities near Babbitt and Hoyt Lakes into northeastern Minnesota. Oh, boy. Gee willikers, it's only if we had another case where a foreign company entity came into Minnesota, promised they wouldn't pollute us, and polluted the crap out of the land. Line three. That's right. Environmental groups in the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa had challenged the MPCA's decision to issue the water quality permit, as well as various decisions related to it. The appeals court concluded the MPCA erred when it did not properly consider whether the Federal Clean Water Act applies to any future discharges from PolyMet. Yeah, that's a bit of being a swing and a miss there. With Monday's opinion, the appeals court reversed the permit and sent it back to the MPCA to determine if potential discharges to groundwater should be regulated under the Federal Clean Water Act. The 2019 U.S. Supreme Court decision determined discharges to groundwater are subject to the act if they are the functional equivalent of a discharge to surface water. The precedent for this was set more than a year after PolyMet's permit was issued. Monday's news is a win for the environmentalists in the Fond du Lac Band, who went to court to challenge the water discharge permit PolyMet needs to build its proposed copper-nickel mine called the North Met Project. The Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, which is among the groups fighting the project, tweeted Monday, every case appealing the Minnesota PolyMet permit they've heard has resulted in a rejected permit. For the most part, it is true. But the latest court opinion is not wholly on the side of the environmental groups. The appeals court rejected the group's six other issues with the project, including their demands for stricter limits on wastewater discharge from the mine, the MPCA denying their petition for a contested case hearing to look more closely at some aspects of the permit, and alleged allegations that the permit isn't in compliance with the Fond du Lac Band's water quality standards. The groups also alleged unlawful procedures from the MPCA didn't disclose the Federal Environmental Protection Agency's concerns via written comment with the North Met project. You know, I've said this a few times. In 80 years, when you're building a memorial up by in Beltrami County to remember the brave water protectors who tried to stop Line 3 from being built, but were persecuted and jailed and prosecuted and told that they were losers today, but ended up being completely and totally correct. When you're sitting there in 80 years saying, I proudly dedicate this memorial to those brave leaders, can I just say, keep your memorial. Just don't build the pipeline. Keep your memorial. Don't build the mine. You see, we can just avoid you having to have your grandkids put egg on their face and say, my grandfather was a complete and total jackass for approving this project and should have never done that. And so, you know, as opposed to do that, say you don't have to build us a memorial. Just don't build the project. We already know that you'll try to make good for all the horrible things you did to the people trying to stop this by saying, you know what? Sure, we poisoned the boundary water. Sure, we poisoned most of pristine northern Minnesota's waterways. But we're going to give you a memorial because you were right all along. We already know what's going to happen. Just don't. Don't allow them to build them. Don't. Just don't do it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Wrap up the final segment. Reminder, Native Roots Radio coming up here in about 15 minutes. Make sure you're with us right here on AM 950. So, Brett, what do you say after the show we go over to how about a White Castle, all right? And we film ourselves accosting the White Castle personnel because of the lack of tree plantings in the city of Minneapolis. How about we do? Can we do that? How about we do that, huh?
We got to start hysterically yelling and screaming. And
why are you guys not angry about the trees, huh? You with your little square boiled hamburgers, huh? I don't know what that is. I like a good White Castle. They're tasty. I just want to see the looks on these people's faces as I start. Because you're not planting enough trees on the sidewalk. That's why I'm here. Okay. It would be hilarious.
Well, and like the other guy, you need to throw in some death threats, too.
Yeah, a few death threats. I'm going to kill everybody in here unless they plant an oak tree outside. Because that makes sense. Oh, so Christian. So Christian. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I want to give credit to Luke Hendrickson. Do you know who Luke Hendrickson is?
I do not know.
He grew up in the countryside, loves redneck blank, and he doesn't care if you fly a Biden flag, Trump flag, or a flying spaghetti monster one. However, the big bearded country singer-songwriter from Rochester, Minnesota, took issue with what he saw ahead of a gig last Friday in Weirton, West Virginia. In a Facebook post explaining why he declined to play that night, Hendrickson posted a photo from Shooters, with a Z, Shooters Bar, advertising the Kyle Rittenhouse Special. A beer and three shots. Wow. Another sign to urge customers who support the worthless, inept, and corrupt Biden White House to take a hike. This is glorifying hate. This is not just a difference of opinion, which absolutely correct. I will give him that. Hendrickson writes, our principles remain intact, and we're the ones willingly minus a paycheck tonight. After Hendrickson informed the bar of the decision, someone apparently scrawled, banned Luke Hendrickson, and then the F word for derogatory term for a gay person, on the barroom chalkboard, prompting the musician to wonder, if I would have stayed, would I have been dead? I'm going to say so. Hendrickson did not respond to the request to chat. This is with the racket, although they did actually talk to him a little bit later on. Since this happened, I've gotten a flood of responses on social media. It's been kind of overwhelming. Plus, I'm still out here gigging, driving. Thinking back to the incident in Weirton, it was surreal, short-lived moment. From the second I walked in there, I got bad vibes combined with the ridiculous signs on the door. My hunch told me that if I didn't want to need their money, that hunch turned out to have been fortuitous, as evidenced by the bar's response, referencing as a blank. One commenter online said something like, those people are completely eaten up by hate. Just leave them to it, and that's the route I'm going to take. I didn't need to go by them. So, have you ever – I know exactly what this guy's talking about. I've walked into places out in rural Minnesota where I walk in there and I just sort of say, I don't want to be in here.
Oh, there was a place in the North Metro where, I had a friend of mine that I was with that's not a white guy. And yeah, we got the vibe. We didn't even sit down. We're like, oh yeah, this is not the place we want to be.
What? Don't say where, but what town?
Blaine.
Blaine. Yeah, Blaine is an interesting place, especially for that National Sports Center. I've been up there a few times. There's a few places in that town that I know what you're talking about there. No, I've been in places. I've been out, and I know exactly what this guy's talking about. I imagine most of you do, too. Have you ever been on the road, and you said, you know, I'm going to stop here, I'll walk into this place, we'll see if we can grab some lunch, and walk in there, and it's like, I turn around and walk right back out. If I get that vibe, I have a vibe that, yeah, this place is not the place to be. And, you know, it's a shame, but you know, he walked in, and good for him, because there's a lot of country music stars, I think, that would see that and say, you know, okay, I don't want to be here and do this, but I don't want to, make the people who love country music mad. It'd be interesting to check. I might have to pull up this Shooters with a Z bar. It's in, once again, it's in Weirton, Weirton, West Virginia. I'm going to guess their Yelp reviews haven't been too good. I'm just going to, one star, extra heaping side of jackassery. There you are. Nice job, Mr. Hendrickson. Luke, I'll actually be looking for your music. I'm dead serious. I'm actually going to see if I can try to find some. Maybe we'll get it into the bumper music here for him. All right? Maybe we can do that. You have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. We're back on a Wednesday with Stein. Until then, see ya.